stealth feminists and what they say about equal opportunities. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Have the U.S. and Mexico gotten to the end game on overhauling their NAFTA trade relationship? Negotiators kept at it over the weekend. Canada is part of NAFTA, but is waiting to see how the other parties do before trying to hammer out its own deal with the U.S. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is following this from Washington. Nancy, what sticking points remain?
The Trump administration doesn't like an international tribunal set up under NAFTA that settles disputes among NAFTA members. The Wall Street Journal is reporting the negotiators are discussing a compromise in which some companies wouldn't be covered by the tribunal and wouldn't be able to use it to settle disagreements.
All right. And what about maybe other compromises perhaps shaping up?
Well, the Financial Times is reporting negotiators are working on a compromise on how many North American parts have to be in Mexican cars for them to come into the U.S. tariff-free. Right now, it's around 62%. The negotiators are said to be settling at 75%.
So the negotiators worked all weekend. What's the rush?
Yeah, in a word, politics. The negotiations really need to be wrapped up by September 1st, and that's because Congress has to wait 90 days before voting on a renegotiated NAFTA, and the Trump administration wants to be sure the current Congress votes on it.
Nancy, thank you. U.S. farmers caught up in the wider U.S.-China-Mexico trade dispute are expected to get details today on a $12 billion aid package to help offset the effects of retaliatory tariffs. Farmers have been watching prices drop for milk, soybeans, wheat, and more. Marketplace's Rima Kreis reports.
Farmers like Kevin Skunes say, sure, they welcome the aid. But if they had a choice?
We keep telling the administration that we want trade, not aid.
Skunes, who's also the head of the National Corn Growers Association, says trade disruptions have led to billions of dollars in lost value for the corn industry. The government's compensation of $12 billion sounds like a lot, but is it? Joe Glauber is with the International Food Policy Research Institute.
I think if you total up what producer groups say they are owed, you will be well over $12 billion.
And there's another variable, says Jonathan Kappes, a professor at the University of Illinois.
We are talking about making payments for market losses that we don't actually know the full extent of yet.
But he says if one thing is certain, it's that the impact of the tariffs will go beyond short-term pain.
It's likely to have damage, reputational damage in particular.
And that's another cost to relationships with trade partners that may be hard to win back. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The DAX index in Germany up 0.6%. S&P futures up 0.2%. In this country, we honor workers on Labor Day next week. In the UK, they seem to honor banks. Today is what they call a bank holiday in Britain today, and the markets there are closed. Now to what is in part a branding story, and that brand is feminism. There's fresh data on this from what's called the Gen Forward Survey of Millennials out of the University of Chicago. Political science professor Kathy Cohen runs this public opinion project designed to be sure that millennials of color are well represented in the sample. Professor Cohen, thanks for joining us.
Great to be back.
You asked about women's issues. You also came right out of the box and asked about feminism in general. What was the question you asked?
We asked a series of questions about feminism, but one was, do you identify as a feminist? Interestingly, the majority of young people say they don't identify as what they consider to be a traditional feminist, but support women's rights and equality. And we found that across men and women, and we also found that across race and ethnicity.
So traditional feminist, what is that wrapped up with the brand of their moms and dads or something? Well, what's going on here?
I think that's right. I mean, I think there is a way in which I dare say the media has narrated a pretty rigid understanding of feminism. And so this generation is saying that's really probably not for me, but I do support all of the policies that we might identify with a feminist agenda.
So you asked about those, and those include what? What'd you ask about?
So we ask about equal pay for equal work, and 90% of women say, of course, they agree with that, and 80% of young men across race and ethnicity agree with that. We ask, should we require either health insurers or the government and even employers to cover the cost of contraception for women? Overwhelming support for that.
All right, so feminist policies, but maybe not the label feminism. Now, among the many things that stands out here is this question. Society has reached a point where women and men have equal opportunities for achievement. You asked people to agree or disagree with that?
We did. And what we found were really big gender differences. And what do I mean by that? I mean that most millennial women say not so quick, right? That society has not reached a point where, in fact, there's equal opportunity for achievement. On the other hand, significant numbers of men, the majority of men in every category except Asian American, actually agree that, in fact, society has reached that point.
So, I mean, you thought deeply about this. What might, for you, what are some of the takeaways from the answers that you got?
I think when we look at the patterns overall, we want to pay attention to the idea that, in fact, young people want gender equality in terms of policy, but we still need to educate them about the experiences and the challenges that women face.
University of Chicago political science professor Kathy Cohen is founder of the Gen Forward Survey. As soon as they get results, we like to talk about them. Professor Cohen, thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm watching Tesla stock down 4.1% in pre-market trading now after CEO Elon Musk on Friday reversed course, saying he no longer wants to take his electric car company off the public stock market. We're covering all the reasons, the Marketplace Morning Report podcast, if you missed that on the air. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.